Let us begin. We have Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis the Mishnah. Ayin Beis Amud Beis the Mishnah. Achim Shahoyu Oichlim Al Shulchan Aviyam. 72B. 72B3. I'm guessing. Right. What do you got? B2. 72B2. Only two pages for this stuff. Where is it? The third? Okay. Got it? Ready? Ha'achin shehayu oichlim al shulchan avim. We have brothers that are sitting by the table of their father. The yishenim bibateim. So we take the Mishnah literally. It means they come to eat all of their meals at their father. So we have a courtyard. Let's assume now, for the sake of simplicity, the courtyard, there are only five brothers who live in the courtyard with their father. So the father is number six. He's the Rosh Abayis. He has five sons. They all live in the courtyard. There's no one else in the courtyard other than this family. We'll call them the Cones. The Cone family. Better than calling them the Smith family, right? The Cone family. They have, there's a father. Doesn't matter, Levim, it doesn't make a difference. Levim, Kohan, with Shem, it's all the same. They have their father. The father has five sons. They all live in the courtyard. And the father supports his five children. And they all come, if we take the Mishnah literally, and the Havamina, the five sons all come and eat in the home of their father. So there's only one dining room, there's one dining room table, there's only one kitchen for the entire courtyard, and that is found in the home of the father. But they all sleep in their own private homes. So the question is, does this courtyard require an Eruvei Chatzeros? If the five children want to carry from their private homes to the courtyard on Shabbos, the father wants to carry from his home on Shabbos, do they need to join together in an Eruvei Chatzeros? Or do we say, since they all eat in one location, like, isn't that what an Eruv is all about? Everyone contributes bread, and all the bread is stored in one location, and the location where the bread is stored, that's considered to be the Ikav Moshav, the Ikav place of the entire courtyard. So what more can you possibly want? You have five families, and the five families are eating their meals in the home of the sixth family. That's the Ikav Moshav. So l'chor, they should not require to make an Eruvei Chatzeros.
But on the, five families mean five children.
Five children. They're married with children. That's the assumption. Let's make that assumption. That's a valid assumption. They are their families. They have their own, but they all come to eat. That's the way it is. They all come to eat by the home of their father, but they all sleep in their own independent home. So the question is, what is the ikur? Is the ikur the place where you eat, or is the ikur the place where you sleep? If the ikur is the place where you sleep, then of course we have six different families. There is no question we need to make an Eruvei Chatzeros. If the ikur mokum is where you eat, then it's as if they've all joined together with an Eruvei Chatzeros by doing nothing, because they all live in one location. They were living in one house.
Rashi
says, so Rashi already zoomed to the Gemara. I made a mistake. I already said something which is not accurate, because really it's discussed in the Gemara. There are two scenarios. Rashi learns that in addition to the five brothers, there are other people living in the courtyard. Okay, that's a discussion. No, you're right. It's very important, because Rashi says, and then we have to take that into account. And the Gemara is going to discuss that in much more detail in a few moments. So we have your courtyard. We have the father. We have five children. We have someone else. Okay, someone else also living. So now the question over here is, so let's see over here. Achim, when we're talking about Mishnah, Achim, Shahayu Echlim Baal Shulchan Aviyim, Vishenim Bebotayim, and they'll still be in their homes. So the question over here is, so we have to revise the question. Since Rashi is telling us that there are other people living in the courtyard as well, who are 100% independent of this family, there's no question we're going to need to make an Erev. Right? We're going to need to make an Erev. The question though is, the other person who's not part of the family, okay, the one who's not part of the family, they are going to have to give bread to the father. Question is, do the five children also need to contribute towards the Erev? Or do we say, since these five children are all guests in their father's home. They're all an extension of their father, and the only one that needs to join together to make this Erev is the father and the other person. So the Mishnah says, "V'achim shahayu oichlim al shulchan avihem," but v'sheinim, they sleep b'batayim in their own homes. Tzrichim Erev l'chol echad v'echad. They don't get away with it. Just because they eat by their father's home does not make a difference. The ikur is when you sleep. Think about it, in the sukkah, everyone eats in the sukkah. No one would dare eat outside the sukkah. But how many people in Chutz Li'aretz sleep in the sukkah? Very few. Very, very few. So why? But the Gemara is a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara is saying the Ikar is the place where you sleep, not the place where you eat. If you had a choice between eating in the sukkah and sleeping in the sukkah, from this Gemara be mashma, the Ikar is to sleep in the sukkah, not to eat in the sukkah. That's a very interesting point, which we'll see a little bit more later on. But right now, the Gemara, the Mishnah here, says very clearly the Ikar is the place where you eat. And therefore, I'm sorry, the place where you sleep, And therefore, each one of the children must contribute towards the Erev. Tzrichim Erev l'chol echad v'echad. L'fich, therefore, what is the consequence? Since, let's make believe that we have 8 people in the courtyard. The father, he's number one. 5 sons. Okay, that's a total of 6. And then we have Reuven and Shimon, who are not part of the family, for a grand total of 8. So all 8 people must join together in an Erev Chatzeros. What happens if one of these 8 people forget, even one of the 5 children? So therefore, it's not a good Erev. If one of the five children forgets to contribute towards the Erev Chatzeros, no one is allowed to carry in this courtyard on Shabbos. What is the solution? We've learned this many times. Bitul Rishus, the child who did not contribute, must relinquish his rights in the courtyard, and that will now allow them all to continue to carry from their homes to the courtyard. Therefore, now, when is this true? When is this true that, now here comes the condition which when is it true when they all must join together, every one of the children must contribute towards the Erev? Bizman shemalichin eruvam l'makayim acher, when they're giving their bread somewhere else, which means, let's just see how Rashi says to very precisely. Look at Rashi. Rashi li remaskle mosai bizman, because there are a lot of different details. I don't want to say the wrong thing. A mosai Rashi bizman shemalichin eruvam l'sitoi bi echad mibnei shor bnei hechotzer. I told you there are 8 people in this courtyard. Father is number 1. 5 sons. Takes us to a total of number 6. And then there is Reuven and Shimon. Where is the Erev being put? In whose home? From these 8 people. Either in home number 7 or 8. In Reuven and Shimon. Since the Erev bread is not being put in one of the home of the father, and not in the home of one of the 5 sons, but it's being stored in the home of number 7 or 8 of Reuven or Shimon, then if one of the 5 sons forgets to contribute, no one is allowed to carry in the courtyard. Dohoyel, Rashi is very precise. Since we need an Erev, Amrinan b'gemara, Mig, why do we need an Erev in this case? Because there was Reuven, the Rashi already is jumping to the end of the daf, a whole daf ahead of us. Because there's a Reuven and there's a Shimon. And Reuven and Shimon are not part of this family. So there's no question, there is a need for Reuven and Shimon, and the father at least of the family, to join together. Migu, this is a lama shemigu. Once already we need to make an Erev, every one of the children is required to participate. Rashi is basically telling us the whole daf in one shot, in one sentence, that this relationship between a father and his children is a double din. Mitzad echad, they're one family, and they don't need to do anything. But mitzad sheni, they're not really one family, because they're living in private homes. L'may nafkamina, the nafkamina is, if we anyway need to make an Erev, because we got a Reuven and Shimon, a number 7 and 8, then in halacha, We're going to view the five children as separate entities. They're not part of the father. They got to contribute. Then the weakness. They have an inherent weakness. Can we overlook the mum? The mum is, listen, they have five. They're five families. They live in different homes. That's a problem. On the other hand, no, they're all eating by the father. So if we already need to make an erev because of Reuven and Shimon, Nenela, we can't overlook your flaw. You also have to contribute. But let's say in this courtyard the grand total is six. Reuven and Shimon don't live here. The only one who lives in this courtyard is the father and the children. Then the one big happy family, they do not need to join together. That's what Rashi says. Hoyl since for huska kula eruv amrinan bigamara migu deshar diurin astray, since the other residents of the courtyard prohibit one another. Inunami astray with srichen kulon litain pas hoyl dichalukan diurin belina, since they live in separate dwellings. Umakabli prosain, and we'll see the Gemara is going to tell us when it says here that they eat food. It doesn't literally mean that they eat in their father's home. What it really means is their father supports them. Because if they actually ate their meals in their father's home, then they would not need to contribute, because then they're called guests. Then they're mamish extension of their father. Right. So the Gemara is going to say in a few moments, when I read the whole Gemara, in the words of the Rashi, telling this whole Gemara, hold off Gemara, that these five children are not literally eating in their father's homes. They're supported by their father. Their fathers, and that's for sure, their own homes. That's the Mishnah, in their own homes. But their father supports them. So being that their father supports them, they're semi-connected to their father, yes and no. If already we need to make a separate Erev, they all have to contribute separately. Can you look at the Gemara?
This Erev Shabbos, this Erev.
Yeah.
They have to make a bracha, right?
Correct.
So when you make the bracha, you have to know who.
They made a mistake. Mistakes happen all the time. Never had a mistake in that. I never saw a mistake.
No.
Much bigger mistakes happen. This okay, right? Right in the Gemara. So the Gemara over here says, "Therefore, im shachah meim im vados v'shus v'im im v'zan shemilchem eruv l'mokem acher." Aval im hoye eruv bo etzlon. Ah, but let's say the bread is being stored in the home of one of them. Now Rashi makes it very clear, and it's not clear in the Mishnah. So you don't know what the Mishnah really means. If you take the Mishnah literally. You take it literally, you would say it means any one of the five children or the father. But Rashi says no. If so basically, it means, according to Rashi, if I'm not mistaken, it means that if the bread is put in the father's home, not in one of their own private homes. If they put it in one of their own private homes, that's not going to really solve the problem. It means if the bread of the Erev for Reuven and Shimon and the father is being stored in the father's home, then the five children do not need to contribute bread. If the Erev is being stored in the home of Reuven or Shimon or one of the five children, then every one of the children must contribute bread. But if the bread is being stored in the home of the father, Reuven and Shimon gave bread, and the bread is put in the father's home, since the five children are extension, they are an illegal extension of their father, they do not need to contribute bread.
Since the food comes from the father.
The food is coming from the father, but the point over here is the bread. Even though the food comes from the father, still they have to still contribute bread. That's what it's saying over here. If the bread is being of the Eruv is being stored in the home of Reuven or Shimon, so just like the father had to give bread to Reuven or Shimon, Reuven and Shimon had to keep bread themselves. Likewise, the five children must take bread from their homes, which their father paid for. That's what it means. The father paid for this bread, and they must also give it to either Reuven or Shimon, who is holding on to the Eruv.
Can you say that the five children don't have to give, only the father has to give?
That's exactly the point the Gemara makes, Migu. Because mitzad echad, the five children are separate entities. Because they live in separate homes.
All the food comes from.
In a chnami, that's exactly the Gemara's dilemma. How do we view these six people? Do we view them separate entities, or do we view them one group? And that's exactly what the Gemara says. It depends when. If the Erev is being stored by an outsider, Migu, we need to make an Erev, we're already going to require every one of the children to contribute separately. But if the bread is being stored in the home of the father, then we can already put the bread in the home of the father. Let's go by it. So, now here we have a new case, a new halacha. Oh, this is a very important halacha for the Gemara. Let's say there's no one else in the courtyard but the father and his five children. There is no Reuven and Shimon. Then you don't need to make an Erev altogether. The fact the father supports the five children, that itself joins them together, there's no need to make an Erev. Einon tzrichin l'orif. Now the Gemara goes, okay, let's look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, in the situation where the bread is being stored in the home of Reuven and Shimon, the rule is all five children must give bread. Why? But the five children are, it says the Mishnah, oichel by their father. If you're eating by your father, shouldn't that be the ikar, the place where you eat? Not the place where you sleep? It must be, since it says here in the Mishnah, that if the bread is being stored in the home of Reuben and Shimon, each one of the five children must give bread separately. It's because the ikar is the place that you sleep, not the place where you eat. The Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. If the case was asking you, it was learned very simply, where they're eating literally, they're coming to eat all of their meals in the home of the father, and they're sleeping in the private homes, the ikar is the place where you eat. And what's the proof to this? The proof basically is, when you make it, tchumen, you put food. Do you sleep there? No. You put down food. When you make chatzeros, you bring food. The ikar is the place of the food. So if the case was the children are actually eating their meals at the dining room table of their father, even though they sleep independently in their own private homes, that doesn't matter. They're all part of the father. They do not need to contribute in any case. The only reason why here they need to contribute in this particular case is because they're not actually eating in the home of their father. Their father is supporting them. And when it says in the Mishnah, the oichli al shulchan of means support, hacha, pras means a piece of bread. The father is giving them support. Turn about on Mishesh Lai Deshan. Now, Nusuge. Mishesh Veshar, a person is a real estate. He owns real estate. What do they call it? A tycoon? He owns a lot of real estate. A gavir in Kensington. He owns all the real estate in Kensington.
Do you know who this guy is?
Do I know who he is? Not me. The gavir of Kensington. He knows, owns all the real estate of Kensington. So turn up on him. So this person, he owns all different types of real estate. In one courtyard, he owns a beis shar. What's a beis shar? It's a gateway. It's an area in front of a courtyard. No one really lives there. Sometimes a watchman stays there. Achsadra. Achsadra is an open porch. It's not fit for living because there are no walls. You have a roof. A roof and just poles that hold up the roof. Umir Peset, a balcony. People live on the second story and there's a balcony. Bechotzer Chaveroi. Hareze in Oiserlov. So look at this guy. This guy, he owns property. There are five courtyards in this city. A courtyard 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In courtyard 1, the real estate guy, this Gavir, the Gavir from Kensington, owns the Beis Shar. In courtyard number 2, he owns the Achsadra. In courtyard number 3, he owns the Mirpeset. In courtyard number 4, he owns another Beis Shar. And he lives in courtyard number 5. And now all the courtyards wanting to make among themselves a Ruve Chatzeros. Does this Gavir have to contribute bread to each one of the courtyards because he owns real estate in each one of these courtyards? The answer is no. Because this type of real estate is not called the Mokum Dira. The only time you prohibit upon the other residents of the courtyard and are required to contribute is when you own real estate in which you live in. A beis shar is not a place that's called a dira. An achsadra, a mirpes, that's not a beis dira. You don't need to contribute. So Torah b'al mitzvah yeshlo beis shar b'achsadra mirpeset b'chotzim chaveru ayarezeino yisrael lof. However, beis teven, but let's say you own a place where they store straw. In those days, there's a major commodity, straw animals. You know what it's like today? If you own a gas station today, you're a very rich man. So owning a base tavern is the equivalent of owning a gas station, because this is what feeds the animals, the donkeys.
Yeah.
So base tavern, there's base abakar, or you own a place with the animals, you own the garage, where they keep the cars, the barn, the base eitzim, fuel, right? Your national grid, your Con Ed. I own the eitzim, this is major league stuff. You own the base eitzim, or base oitzaras, place where they store food, or base oitzaras, ha-reiz the oitzar, because these are real dwellings. These are mekoymois that are choshev. And you can live there if you want, you can live there. Mainly if you own real estate in these areas, you must contribute towards there, and if you don't, then the people that call you don't know how to carry, because someone ruined it, someone messed them up by not joining in the Eruv. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, no, he disagrees. Ein Oyser, this probably Ein Oyser, Elam Mokoyim, Dir Bilvar. Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is different. No, it's not enough that the Mokoyim is Choshev and Tsuroi Ladira. It must mamish be a makam dira. You must mamish live there. So what do we see?
Mamish
el makam dira. No, that's Tanakama. Tanakama said it's right to live. Base tavern is right to live. You're not living there. You have over there, this is a nice structure. It's a sealed, it's an enclosed area. You just don't happen to be living there. You happen to be storing materials there. According to the Tanakhama, that's significant enough to require you to join the Erev. According to Rabbi, no, it's not. It must be mamish a base dira, a place with a bed and a table and a couch and a refrigerator and an oven and all the facilities and the amenities of life in order for it to be a makam where you're mechuyev to join in the Erev. Habir Omer in Oisel makam dira bilvat. Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa ben Nafcha, the smith, can name a person. Shahayu loy chamesh chatzeres, mamish our case, he owned chamesh chatzeres per Usha, 5 courtyards in Usha. Uba Mais lefnei chacham b'yomu, when they said, in Oisel a base dira bilvat, only a base dira. Now that's not what it says. A base dira means mamish, a place where you live, the Mursakash, a base dira, slagadaitach. Does it mean mamish a base dira? But we said above means a makoyim dira. If you go back up, 3 lines above before it got wide, Rabbi Yehuda said, it's not called a base dira. That's not enough. You have to have a makoyim dira. A makoyim dira, which means you must be actually living there. A base dira means a place that's roy to serve as a dira. Okay, that's called a base dira. A place that's roy to be a dira. You need mamash a makoyim dira, a place where you are actually living. Okay, so therefore he says, in Oisel El Mokam, so based Dira, based Sakatayadach, El Emor says, you write it means El Ema, Mekoim Dira, you write it in Echanami, don't change the Girsa. It's only also you own the Mekoim Dira, a place where you're actually living, then you are required to contribute to the Erev. If it's not a place where you're actually living, you are not required to contribute to the Erev, and you do not prohibit the other members of the courtyard from carrying on Shamas. My Mekoim Dira, what's Mekoim Dira? What exactly is this? Rav Omar. Rav's Mokoyim. Oh, so now what exactly does it mean Mokoyim Dira? Because a Mokoyim Dira, what happens if you eat there and you don't sleep there? Or you sleep there and you don't eat? So here we go with the sugya. So Rav says Mokoyim Pita. A Mokoyim Dira is the place where you eat, even though you do not sleep there. Shmuel says Mokoyim Lina, the place where you sleep, that's the place that requires you to contribute. Meisvei, okay, this is Machlekes, Rav and Shmuel, a Yisoyed, a Stig, a Sugya. Okay, if you want to learn from today, Daf, Machlekes, Rav and Shmuel, is always Gdayuk, Machlekes, Rav and Shmuel. And Rav holds, what's the place that requires to join an Erev? Pita, Achila. Shmuel, what's the Ikar? The Ikar is Dira, the place where you sleep, Meisvei. Hodoyim, shepherds. Veha Kaitzonim, Kaitzonim are people who are Rash Shemrei Te'enim Hashtuchim Vesadeh. They watch figs which are spread out over the field in order to Liavsham Likit Tzioys. These are pressed figs. They will take figs and press them into a mold. So that's, they're called Kaitzonim. They're watchers Vaburganim. Burganim are their little huts where they watch the field, the grain. Vishaymei peros, who people watch for, is bisman shadakim. Here's the case. Here's the situation. Ancient times. Bisman shadakim lolim beir harein kanshu. Here's the question. The question is, where do we measure their tchum? On Shabbos, they want to walk. They want to walk on Shabbos. They want to walk on Shabbos. 2,000 amos. The question is, where is their tchum measured from? Let's go back to the halacha we learned 2 weeks ago. Make believe this sidur is a city. Okay, let's make believe it's a very, very large city. Make believe the sidur is, who knows, 10,000 amos from end to end. And when Shabbos begins, you are, let's say, 1,000 amos outside of the city, and you kind of shvi'is over here. How far can you travel on Shabbos? From the place you call in the Shvisa, 2,000 amish in each direction, and that means, where will your Shvisa end? It will end, if you're putting it, you're 1,000 amish away from the city, it's going to end 1,000 amish into the city. If the city goes from end to end 10,000 amish, you are only allowed to carry on Shabbos 1,000 amish into the city. If you were kind of shvisa in the city on Shabbos, you could walk the entire city from end to end, right? That's 10,000 amos plus another 2,000 amos from the end of the city forward. So, when you're kind of shvisa, it's very important to know where you kind of shvisa. If you are, let's say, when Shabbos begins, you want to be kind of shvisa 1,000 amos outside the city. What are you doing to yourself? You're gaining 1,000 amos in this direction. The kind of shvisa, I can now walk 2,000 amos in this direction, which basically means you're able to travel 3,000 amos away from the city, but you only can go walk backwards into the city 1,000 amos. If you were kind of shvisa in the city itself, you can walk the entire city 10,000 amos back and forth. And then plus that, you get 2,000 amos in each direction. So here we have a person who is a guardian of the field. The field is exactly 1,000 amos. Now, for example, outside the city. Problem over here is this person, he watches the field by day, but at night he comes in to sleep. He stays, he watches there 12-hour shift, and then at night he comes in, or 18-hour shift, at night he comes in to sleep. Where does he eat? He eats out in the field. Or vice versa, let's say everything, he even sleeps out in the hut, but he comes back in to eat in the city. So here I have a situation where you do certain things in the hut, and you do other things back in the city. And now you want to know, when it comes Shabbos, where are you kind of shvisa? Are you kind of shvisa the place where you're going to sleep or eat in the city? Or are you kind of shvisa the place where the hut is outside? A very big nafkamin is, are you going to be able to go, if you're going to kind of shvisa in the city, you can walk the entire city back and forwards, and then get another 2,000 amos in all four directions of the city. But if you kind of shvisa now in the hut, then you get 2,000 amos going in one direction, 2,000 amos going in the other direction, you have to stop in the middle of the city. So that's our shayla. So where are you kind of shvisa? And here is Nagao shayla. Are you kind of shvisa? The ikar is the makam pita or the makam melina. So we have a shayla. Haroi v'akai tzad v'aborgnim v'sham v'apei v'sham v'zman shadakam lolim be'ir. Ah, when the derech is to sleep in the city, harehein ka'anshe hu'ir. Bizman shadakam lolim b'sodarein ka'arei l'malpayim l'chol ruach. They get 2,000 amos in every direction where they are in this, out in the field, where they're sleeping, where they're standing guard in their little hut. So what do we see from this halacha? It's clear as day, a raya to the sheet of Shmuel. The ikar is lina, not achila. The Gemara is of Mordechai is said, hasam and ansadi, the imamati lurifta hasam tve nichaluhu. It's not a kasha. The reason why there, in the case of the hut, the reason why there, we follow the place of in the place of Lina where they're going to sleep is because they would prefer to eat there. Even though it's true, in the case of the hut, they sleep out in the hut, but they eat in the city. They eat in the city. So you would say, oh, if you look, let's focus on the second case. The second case is they're eating in the city and they're sleeping in the hut. Where are they kind of shvisa in the hut? So you have a raya. The ikar is the makam lina, not the makam achila. It's not a raya. Because there they would prefer to eat in the hut. They wish they had a restaurant in the hut. They wish someone, there would be a delivery of takeout food to the hut.
The hut is
where they are, and they're in the bank?
Yes.
So it's not the
Mitzvah says they sleep. They're there. They sleep in the hut at night also. They're there the entire day, and they sleep there also. But they come back into the city to eat. They have a lunch break. And the lunch break, they go into the city to eat. So where are the kind of shvisa? It says the kind of shvisa where they're sleeping. You have a raya to Shmuel that says the ikur is the mokum shvisa. Akash and Rav that says the mokum is mokum achila. The answer is no. The reason why here we go basalin is because the only reason why they go into the city to eat is because they have no choice. If they were able to get food out in the hut, they would prefer to have their food there. That's why we give the ikur shvisa the mokum lina. That's not to be confused with the case we had before, the regular standard case. In a regular case, we have a base lina. There, you don't prefer to eat in the place where you sleep. But our shaila was, you sleep in one house and you eat in another house. The place where you sleep, you bedafka don't want to eat. And the place where you eat, you don't want to sleep. Each of the two mekaymos is hugely exclusive. In such a mitzvah, there we have a very big dilemma. What's the ikur? Is the ikur the place where you sleep, the place where you live? Because each one, you don't want to do the opposite. But if you have a situation where I bedafka, I sleep here and I eat here. But I would prefer that my eating take places in the place where I sleep. Oh, if that's what you would prefer, you want the achila to be in the place of lina, then everyone agrees we're going to follow the makom of lina. Okay, that's the Gemara's maskos. So if you can't compare this case to the case we had before, next Gemara. I'm going to have Yosef. Let's me
alicha. Shabbos, we pass a basalina, right?
Hilcha Shabbos. What are we passing?
Achila.
We got the Gemara paskos. Makom, look at the top line of the Gemara. Makom pita like Raf. We pass like Raf. If you were to have a matz, this is very big. This is a shalik which goes for all every other chaniklicht. Where do you like chaniklicht when you're eating in one place and you're sleeping somewhere else? That's a pasha. Halach l'maisa, we pass the chlal achila. The place where you eat is where you light the chanukah candles, not the place where you sleep. Mamash like this Gemara, Mokum Pita. You have a machlekes here, you have a mitzias, where you're eating in one place and you're sleeping in another place. What's the ikar? Marav says the ikar, and you don't want to mix. Let's make it very simple. The place where you eat is not the place where you want to sleep. The place where you sleep is not the place where you want to eat. So what does Allah Rav says? The ikar is achila. Shmuel says the ikar is lina. The Shulchan Aruch passes like Rav. Ikviz makam achila, and we talk and see the halacha lemais. So when it comes to chanukah licht, where do you light? You light the place where you eat. When it comes to sukkah, what's the yikr? We eat. Now where you sleep, like Rav. Okay, so you see over here such a mitzias that we do pasuk in derecha like Rav in this inyan. Right? Amr Rav Yosef l'shmir lichos shmeitzer. Rav Yosef said not hear the following shmeitzer.
Somebody sleeps in the sukkah, they would have to bench up in the sukkah.
If someone were to sleep in the people, you know, people do bench up in the sukkah.
So they should have to bench up in the sukkah, no?
People do bench up.
They should.
Anyway, you bedavki, you should. That's what you eat. Bedavki, you should, but not with shayach.
The eating and sleeping then.
Yeah.
But in the house, it's not.
But you don't have a choice. Sometimes you don't have a choice. You have. Yeah. Avad. That's the real vehicle. I'm Rav Yosef. Lo shmiel lecha shmeitzer. I never heard the shmeitzer. The shmeitzer that we're about to say, of that the ikur is, which shmeitzer referring to? I never heard this chish of Rav that the ikur is the place where you eat. I never heard this. Achidish that the ikur is the makam achila. Lo yishmi lo shmaitz. Amalei Abai. Now we know that Rabbi Yosef forgot his learning, and his talmidim had to remind him what he learned. Abai, what are you talking about? At amar lo at amar nehalon. You taught us the halacha of Yahamar nehalon. And you taught us the halacha that the ikur is not achila concerning the following them. Here we go. Here's our Mishnah. That's why this sugi here is presented, because it fits into our Mishnah. Perfect. They eat in one place and they sleep in another place, right? They eat by their father, which we know doesn't mean mamash. Mamash means pras, okay? But achila is in one place and sleeping is another place. So what does it say? Tzrichin eruv l'chol echad, the echad, you need, oh, how could that possibly be? You need, but that's a bukhar, it's a raya that lean is the yikr. The abuin and loch, shmamina makam lean garim. The abuin and loch, you told us no, I'm not Yehuda Marab, be makabli prashanu. The reason why in this case we follow the place of lina, and everyone must contribute towards the Erev, it's only because they're not mamish eating by their father. But if they mamish would eat by their father, even though they would sleep in their own homes, the ikar is makom achila. So our Mishnah is a beferish araya taraf. Is that clear? Our Mishnah says the children are eating in one place, sleeping in another place, so they're considered to be separate, like this place where they sleep. Oh, so you see klar that we go basar lina, not basar achila. No! The MS, we go basar achila. And the reason why in this case we don't go basar achila is because they're not really eating by their father. They're only supported. But in Achanam, if they were eating by their father, in Achanami would potter. You go basar. So what do you see? The ikar is a conflict with achila and alina. Achila is the ikar. Next one. Turn about on Misha Yesh Loichamish Noshim. A man has five wives. The Kabbalist Pras Mi Balein. Here he supports five wives. He's in the courtyard, five homes. He gives them, he supports all five. Or, a new example, the Chamish Avodim. He has five servants. And the Kabbalist Pras Mi Rabbeim, he supports all five servants. What's Halacha, Rav Yudah, Ben Sir, Mati, Ben Oshim, Ba'is Avodim. So he's a Chernish. He's Mechalek between a wife and a servant. Two brachas. Shlos and Isha, Shlos and Yavit. Tzvedinim, you have a new appreciation now. When you say here in the bracha, Shloyas an Isha, Shloyas an Oved, it's Tzvedinim. He's a mechalik. When it comes to a wife, there's a mer matir ben Hashem, a wife, it's one big happy family. It's all, if the father, if the husband supports all five, it's all five, they don't have to join in one Erev. It's all considered one large, since the five wives are supported by their husband, so it's all one big family, they do not need to contribute towards Erev. But when it comes to a slave is independent, even though the slave is being supported. The fact is the slave is still eating his bread in a different location, and he's sleeping in a different location, so it's separate rishiyos, and the Mela, every slave, we're dealing with every slave, five, I guess we're saying Avodim Knanin, I'm assuming, every Knanin is like an Isha, Chayv and Mitzvah Isha, so L'chayv, the Mechuyiv to participate in the Erev, L'chayv, no worse than an Isha, I'm assuming, they have to contribute to the Erev, and they have to contribute. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bisera. Okay. Let me just make sure it's never Kenani. Ever Kenani. I'm on the wrong page, one second. He doesn't say which kind of avodah. I'm assuming over here he's dealing with an Eved Kenani. Let's go back. Okay. So over here,
it's
one bias. They do not need to contribute. The oyser.
I mean, if it's I'm saying, why would you say that it's only
Eved Ivri, L'chari, the Vada, you're separate. Eved Kenani, you own them. They're your property. You mamish v'kin mamon in them. So, Eved Ivri is mamish. Eved Ivri is einachnami. He's semach l'shulchana, but he's not yours. This is a mamish. You're his Eved, Chazal say. Eved Ivri, kitov l'imach. He's an independent person, so you give him money, so gusante, so you give him stock, you support him. But his mom is a separate person. It's nothing. Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba Mati Ba'avodim. He disagrees. He's Mati Ba'avodim. He says, Pumfakert, look at this, tremendous Chiddush. In Eved, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, yeah, he's mamish your property. V'oyseh ben Hashem. In Isha, a wife is independent. It's very interesting, Hashkafa. Of an Isha, you know, every door, you know, the hashkafa of how you, so you know, mamish. V'oisav in Hashem. Amarav, my time, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, was some shadows in the pasuk, v'Daniel b'sra malka. Daniel was an eved to the melech. Now, this is only an asmachta. and the Nil was Bisra, was the Nil was in the gate of the king. Chazal Da'ashim, wherever the Nil was, he was always considered to be in the gate. Sra means in the gate of the Melech, of the king. Meaning, because since the king supported him, he was a servant of the king, and he's supported by the king, the Melech, he's part of the king, he's a chalik of the king. So too, if you have an Eved, no matter where the Eved is, he's your legal extension, and the Melech, he does not need to contribute to the Eved, it's all part of the Eved automatically. Okay, so if that includes the Gemara, a Merdik Machlaikis, very big, fascinating Gemara. There's Tzvei Dinim, there's an Eved, and there's an Isha, and your mamish can go mikotze el kotze in viewing the relationship the master has to an Eved, and the relationship the master has to his wife. Murdi Gavart, Mar. Pshita, nu now, one more, there's one more relationship that we left out. And that is, we already discussed father and son, right? That we learned in the Mishnah. So it's a third relationship. Now there's one more, Rebbe v'Talmid. How does a Talmud look at his Rebbe? What is the relationship? Pshita, we already discussed Ben Eitzel Aviv Kidamaran. A son near a father, so we learned during the Mishnah, if you support it, so basically it depends if there's no one else, it's a quasi din. If there's no one else in the Kotzer, then you're one family. If there's someone else, we say the Nigel. That was what we learned, that's what the father and the father. When it comes to Isha, Eitzel Bala, the Eved Eitzel Rabbi, that we discussed, Machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda ben Mesera, Mama Pliga, Rabbi Yehuda ben Mesera, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. Now I have a new Shaila. What about Talmud, Eitzel Rabbi, my Toshma, Drav Be Rabbi Chia, when Rav was Be, Drav Be Rabbi Chia, Omar, when Rav was by the Beiru's Rebbe, Ein Anu Tzrichim L'Orev, we don't need to contribute, Shrei Anu Soimach Mal Shulchanoi Shel Rabbi Chia. And furthermore, Rabbi Chia Bei Rebbe, when Rabbi Chia, the previous generation, Rabbi Chia was Bei Rebbe, Amar Ein Anu Tzrichim L'Orev, Shrei Anu Soimach Mal Shulchanoi Shel Rebbe. So the Gemara is saying that when it comes, an incredible Chiddush, the Gemara's Maskana, it's the best. A Rav is Merdik and Musa, this is Gemara. It's an incredible, halfway to the Gemara. Four relationships: father, son, wife, husband, master, slave, Ben Eitzel Rabbi. The one that's the strongest relationship is Talmud Eitzel Rabbi. Talmud Eitzel Rabbi does not definitely L'chol HaDeis does not need to contribute because it's mamish an extension of the Rebbe. An Eved and an Isha, you can say a Zoy. A Ben Eitzel Aviv. It depends. It depends on the matzah. But a Talmud Eitzel Rabbi, half of the Gemara. This is the closest relationship of them all. Five people have been accorded. Okay, so in simple child, we have over here, let's say, two courtyards. Okay, my Gemara, courtyard A, courtyard B, right and left, courtyard on the left. Five people live in the courtyard, they make an Erev Chatzeros. Wonderful, right? There's a courtyard on the left, on the right side, they make their own Erev Chatzeros. Wonderful, right? Can you go from courtyard A to courtyard B? No way. Don't even think of it. Hasidim is snagged, and there's no mishing. You don't mingle among the two courtyards. We make our Erev, we live happily, and you live happily. All of a sudden, one day they decide, you know what? Not so bad. The neighbors are not so bad. Let's go and go carry from one courtyard to the courtyard. So here's the Shaila. Do you have to make a new Erev where all 10 people join together in one shot? Or, being that already each courtyard made their own Erev, one member of the courtyard on the left can give bread as a representative of the entire courtyard. Since they already joined together in the past, they're already one big family, so now when one person gives a little bit, that's enough to represent the entire courtyard. That is the Shailon. So the Gemara says, Pshita, when they send it to Lokamacher, does each one need of the courtyard need to contribute independently? Can one person contribute and represent the entire group? Each one in this group must separately contribute bread towards the new Erev. Amalei, Eruvecha lekulon, it's enough, a makel. Since in the past they've already joined together in one Eruv, it's enough one person from that group represents the chotzer and gives bread to the other chotzer, and that is sufficient. Oh, there was a kasha of your achim. Oh, now his dears would be very important. You said the Gemara, but this is not so. But look at the previous Mishnah of your achim, the chidikavu dami. But we learned in the Mishnah, if we have five brothers living in a court with their father, so we have a grand total of six. And we learned in the Mishnah, let's say they are the only ones in the courtyard. There's no one else. Okay, there's no one else in the courtyard, just the father and the five sons. The last word of the Mishnah told us, the last words told us, they do not need to make an Erev. There's no need because the father supports, going in the case where the father supports his five children, Pras, Mishluchan Aviv, they do not need to make an Erev because they're the only ones in the courtyard. But what happens, so here we have an example of one big happy family, right? The courtyard. Now what happens if this courtyard wants to join with another courtyard? So it's said in the Mishnah, oh, you want to join with another courtyard? Then every single member of the family must, every single one of the five brothers must contribute. So here we have Amish equivalent case. We have two courtyards. You told me that if this courtyard joined together and now they want to join up with the next courtyard, everyone doesn't need to contribute. One person can represent the entire group. But we have here a case of the Amish that's equivalent. We have family, father and five sons. They don't need to do anything because it's one big happy family. But if they want to join now with the neighboring courtyard, then every single member of the family must contribute. So you see that you do. Everyone does need to contribute. You don't say erech lekulan. Let's see if the words of the Gemara. So we have achin chigavu dam damu. It's like as if they join together. So the Gemara says no. It's not a kash. Hachabaya skinu kagoyin diiko diyon bahadayu. Demigu dehani ashrei hani nami ashrei. Stanakasha. The only time it's true that every single one must join together is going when there's someone else. In other words, it's not just the people, when it says in the Mishnah they ever go somewhere else, they need all to contribute. That's only going in a situation where there's not just six people in the courtyard, but our other example where there were eight people in the courtyard. Oh, there are eight people in the courtyard. There are two outsiders. So now we apply this concept. Once already the other two people must contribute, the Mela, every single one of the brothers must also contribute. So the Migu, the Hane Ashrei, since number 7 and 8 they're not part of this happy family, they must contribute. So now also Hani Nami Ashrei, I'll prove you that this is correct. Diktani, it says they must. When is it so that they must contribute, that each member of the family makes a problem? Bizman Shemoilichan es Eruvam Bimokoy Macher, when the Eruv is being brought to across to someone else. But Aval Imhoya Eruvan Bo Etzlam. But let's say the Eruv was coming to them. In other words, the Eruv is going to be stored in the home of their father. We're going to join together the two courtyards, and we are going to store the bread in the home of these five brothers' father. Then, she'ein diyoren imohen b'chotzer. There's no one else in this courtyard other than them. Ein etzrichim oriv. Then the brothers, the five brothers, do not need to contribute. Why? Because now they're not asking one upon each other. Shmamina. So we have a necharab. We have a raya. We do have a raya that there's distinction is correct. The only time the five brothers are going to be required to contribute towards the Erev is when we already need an Erev. When we already need Erev, we have the Svara, we have the Migu, they already need an Erev, so then their weakness is noticed, and they also must contribute. Okay, now we go to Nugumar. Baminei, Abichi Barav, and Merav Shesh, Bnei Berav, Nusogi, Bnei Berav, Talmidim of the Yeshiva. They eat their bread bebaga. They eat their bread in the dining room. Okay, bebaga means out in the fields. They eat their bread, they eat their meals in one location. It kest. Anyone knows that is that they in the olden time they bachur they learned yeshiva. There used to be a minig in the old yeshiva, European yeshivas. So they had that the balabat the community would host talmidim, and they would eat their meals by the balabatim, and they would learn in the yeshiva. So here the talmidim are sleeping in the yeshiva, but are eating their meals in people's homes in another location. So they eat their bread in the base medrash, in the fields. They sleep in the base medrash. So we measure the tchum. Is the tchum measured? Going back to the old shaila, do we measure the tchum in the place where they sleep, or do we measure the tchum in the place where they eat? Going back to the old shaila we had before, is it the place of lina, the place of pita? We measure from the bay where they sleep. How could that pass? The Gemara is basically passing the old shaila. Is the ikur the place of sleeping or the place of eating? And the Gemara is passing the place of sleeping. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? When a person makes an eruv tchum, what does he do? He puts bread at his tchum. So you see, the ikur is the place of bread, the place of achil, not the place where you sleep. But a person puts his bread within 2,000 amas of where he's sleeping, the Yossi boy say the basin, he goes back and he sleeps at home. And yet the rule is the Erev works. The mashkin and late chumma may roof from the bread. So what's going on? What are you telling me? You have Talmidim. They eat in one place and they sleep in another place. Where do we measure the Erev? From the place where they sleep. So you're telling me the Ikar is sleeping, not eating. But that goes against the grain of what an Erev Tchum is all about. When you make an Erev Tchum, what do? You sleep in the place where you want to make the Erev, or you eat in the place where you want to, you put the bread. The food, you put the Erev down, the Erev is determined the place where you want to, where you put the bread down. Slumar says no. Bahi anan sahade. The Gemara says there's a fundamental difference between the case of the Talmidim and the case of a standard Eruv. In each place, we are Yerilus of Dayit Eshladam, we say testimony. We're Yerilus of Dayit Eshladam. Dahi, in the case of the Talmidim, Anan Sahadidi Mitar Lehosam Nicholei. That, I'm sorry, but the place of a standard Eruv, in the case of a standard Eruv, when a person puts down his bread, if he could, he would sleep there. Why? Because that's where he wants to travel on Shabbos. I want to travel in this direction. I'm putting my bread down 2,000 amas away so I can go and I can travel in that direction. But now, I have to go backwards and sleep in the opposite direction. I have to travel double. I have to walk more. I don't want to walk on Shabbos. I don't need the exercise. I got my exercise already. I want to be able, if I could, if I had a house in that location, I would gladly sleep there. So that's why in the regular instance of Eruv Tchum, the Erev is established where your bread is. It's not just the place of where your bread is. If I could, I would sleep there. But by the Talmidim, where do we establish their Erev? Where they sleep. Why? They don't like to schnarr to go and eat in people's houses. Halavai, they would able to eat in the place where they sleep. So it's a murder he said, because this goes back to what we said before about Chanukah. You see this in this very critical Gemara. Comes to Chanukah, it comes to lighting Friday night lighting candles. It's a very big problem. Where do you light Chanukah candles? If I'm eating in one place and I'm sleeping in another place, I'm eating my Friday night meal. We're going to eat out. We're going to eat in the house, but we're going to come home. We're going to sleep in our home. Where do you light Chanukah candle? Where do you light Shabbos candles? It's a very big problem. And so the Gemara paskins be'ikur mokam achila. That's the ikur. But yet the Gemara qualifies, yeah, that's only true if it's a mokam achila, but you wish you could sleep there also. Achila is the ikur. Achila is generally the ikur. But it's only an ikur where there has to be some sniff. That if I could a little bit, I would like to sleep there also.
Most people would.
But if mamish, I'm eating here because my hands are tied, I b'shum oifin don't want to eat here. I want to eat where I'm going to sleep, and I have just no choice. It's just it's torture for me to eat here. Even though the ikar is achila, it's a very weak achila, and it can very well then be that the ikar mokam you should light the candle is the place where you sleep. So it's a very complicated shaila. The ikar, I think more paskins achila and achila and lina. The ikar is achila. But you also have to take into consideration, why is that so? Because generally speaking, anan sahadeh, that the place where you eat is the place where you would like to sleep also. But if you'll show me hecha timsa when pumfa kert, I don't in the worst way want to eat here. I just have no choice, like the Talmidim of the Beis Medrash. We have no choice, we have to go eat here, but we really want to, if we could eat in the Beis Medrash, ha ha, in a dining room, and we eat in the Beis Medrash, halavai, then you don't necessarily say the ikar is the place of eating. It's very interesting Gemara. Okay, next. Next Gemara. We have a father and a son, a Rebbe and a Talmud, is a Kram Dami, a Kachidim Dami. Tshrichim Erev, now what's the Lamayin Afkamina? Is it called a Ram, called a Yachal? Lamayin Afkamina, Tshrichim Erev, or Ein Tshrichim Erev? If they live together, a father and a son, a Rav and a Talmud, they live in one courtyard, do they need an Erev? Tzrichim Erev or Ein Tzrichim Erev, do they need to join together to make their different dinim in this halacha, complicated halacha, but generally saying, do they need to join together? They want to carry in the courtyard? Do we say that since the father supports the son, this we read in the Mishnah, and the Rebbe and the Talmud, do they need to make it or not? Next shalom, Mavi Shalachem, Nita Belechim Vekoira, Ein Tzrichim Lechim Vekoira. The halacha is, the only time you can use Lechim Vekoira, you have to have two courtyards. You must have a minimum of two courtyards, and each courtyard has a bias in order to be matched to the cool of a lechi v'kaira. Let's say you have two courtyards, but in courtyard A lives the father, and in courtyard B lives the son. So since really it's one big happy family, it's not considered to be two courtyards. You don't have the minimum requirements for a mavli to be matched to lechi v'kaira. Amalei tanisua. Avu benoy, haravu talmidoy, bezman she'ein imoim diyorin, when they're alone, they're the only ones there, harik yechidim, they don't need to make an erev. And the ein tzrich the yechidim, they have a din of a yachid, and the din of a yachid follows halacha, that if they're on the inner courtyard, they don't prohibit the outer courtyard. It's regel hamuteres bezeh, ain't no iseris b'mokay macher. That we had that sugi a while ago. The ain tzichma. They don't mean make an eruv. Umavay shalohem. However, need to b'lachav chabur we make. So we have all the coolest. Basically, we make all across the board. When it comes to the minimum requirement to courtyards, we consider them to be separate, so we can be makel and use a lechi v'kara. But when it comes to one courtyard, we consider to be one the kabi family. They do not need to make a lechi. They do not need to make a lechi v'chatzers. Okay, we're up to the Mishnah. We'll stop.